Hello, Twins fans. This is John Swole with TwinsTrivia.com with another interview with the former Twins star. Today, we have the honor and pleasure of speaking with one of the Twins' 50 greatest players, 20-game winner and native Minnesotan, Dave Golds. So let's get right to it. Dave, you were born in Pelican Rapids, but you grew up in Rothsay, and you were drafted by Minnesota in the fifth round of the 1967 amateur draft. Can you tell us what it was like to be scouted, drafted, and signed by your local professional team?
Dream come true, at that age, and junior already in high school when they were starting to scout. I was a Twins fan already at that time. And to have the scouts from Minnesota come up and take a look at you already when I was a junior, a big treat, big thrill.
Absolutely. Did you have other teams scouting you also?
Yes, Mets, Braves, and what's the other one? Cardinals, I believe.
You worked your way up through the minor league chain from 1967 through 1972. Can you tell us a little about those experiences?
Well, first two years were, I think they call one. First one was the rookie season of Gulf Coast League. I believe you played 70 games in 60 days, something like that. We had doubleheaders.
Wow.
In Florida and hot and humid, and coming from Minnesota, that's a little shock. But did well there. Took a while because of the heat for everybody to get acclimated. Next year, same way, it was 60 or 70 games in 60 days, something like that, summer session, which allowed you to go back to school full time, which I was doing.
Okay.
And I believe that was St. Cloud, and I had a real good year that year, so that was good.
Okay. And then you moved down to what, Orlando after that?
Yes. Trying to think. We're talking years and years ago. Memory isn't that good anymore.
Well, I think you were in St. Cloud in 68, but in 69, I think you missed the entire season due to being in the service.
Yeah, I had an active duty call. And let's see, I think I got out in the fall and I went back to school for a quarter, and if I got instructional again, I'm not sure. And then I think I started at, was supposed to start at Charlotte. That's what it was. And I remember supposed to pitch opening night. We got rained out. I was supposed to pitch the next night. I got rained out. And by noon the next day, I had a call. It says, Uncle Sam wants you for a while. So I missed that one.
Where did you serve in Vietnam?
No, never left the States.
Okay.
Modesto, California, Corpus Christi, Texas, Cumberland Gap, Pennsylvania, all over the place.
Did you play baseball in the service, or?
No, not at all. Mm-hmm. All things, I was a helicopter mechanic.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Too big to fly, but okay to repair.
Yeah, I believe that. So after that, you were back in Orlando.
Yes, started there after spring training and trying to do too much too quick, and I pulled a little tendon loose in my elbow, and I messed around for most of the season there. And then finally, no matter how much I rested and would try to come back, it'd pop again, so they just finally sent me home and said, rest up complete.
Mm-hmm.
And then start over the next year and got things going and kind of clicked all together there.
You didn't need any surgery then?
No, I was lucky. Nope. A small piece of bone pulled off with the end of the tendon or ligament. And it was sore for a while. You learned to pitch with it. And every time I pitched, it just got stronger and stronger and stronger. So I believe I started in the Florida State League after spring training, they wanted me to stay where it was real warm. farm. And I think I was 7-0 there for Orlando, and then got called up to Lynchburg, which is high class A.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was 7-3 there. So that was a good season. Then got invited to the Instructional League again that fall.
Did you get invited to any of the twin spring trainings?
Yes. I got to think here. I think after that season where I was split between Orlando and Lynchburg and then in the instructional area, I got invited there.
I see.
Yep, twice I was invited.
In 1972, you were in AAA Tacoma.
Tacoma, Washington, yeah. Playing all over the place. Made a couple trips to Hawaii, which was fun, interesting. They had a tremendous club there. They had a lot of players that had major league experience that were there. And I fared well against them, so that was kind of an ego boost for me.
I had heard somewhere, and I don't know, maybe it was on Dan Gladden talking about it during a Twins game, but they said that road trips to Hawaii were a lot different than a trip to some other city because it was such a long distance. You had to stay there for quite a while.
Yeah, it was, I think a flight is 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then I forget if we weren't there for 5 days. And all, and then I think we went twice in a season over there. So, once you're there, you better play some games because I'm sure it wasn't cheap to fly us all over there again, too.
I'm sure. I think I read somewhere on Internet, Dave, that your roommate at AAA Tacoma was none other than former Twins manager Tom Kelly.
Yeah, Tom and I roomed together for part of, I'm going to think what season that was, but yeah, we were. Tom was there as outfielder, first baseman, and we had a tremendous club that year. We had a bunch of guys that could really pound the ball, had a lot of home runs and good defense and good catching. Glenn Borgman, the catcher, was there. I believe Craig Cusick was there. Mike Adams, who eventually played in the outfield, was there.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Walton was there.
Yeah.
And he came up later. They had some guys that could hit. And then we had Boone Gomez, shortstop, who played for the Twins for a while and then went on for Toronto. And he was a slick fielder. He and another guy by the name of Ralston were quite a double play combination.
What was Tom Kelly like as a roommate and a teammate?
You know, I don't think he was any different then than he was when he was a manager. He's just a down-to-earth guy and got along with everybody, and he knew the game, and he knew what had to be done in certain situations, and he did it. And when he managed, he expected his players to be able to do that, and he had the manager's attitude that everybody worked for him, wanted to play hard for him. The perfect man.
You then became the first native Minnesotan to be signed by the Twins and then to make their major league roster when you were called up to the big club in 72, right after Jim Cott, I think, broke his wrist sliding into second base.
Correct.
And you made your major league debut on July 18th of that year at Yankee Stadium. What was it like to take a major league mound for the first time?
Yeah, you know, I was in a relief appearance, and I remember warming up in the bullpen, but I do not remember walking from the bullpen to the mound. The next thing I knew, I was standing on the mound. In fact, I was so fired up, I forgot that when I came in, there was a man on, and I did my warm-ups. When I was done, I signaled to Middlewall to go ahead and throw the ball a second. He was not laughing. He said, "You better calm down just a little because there's a guy on, you know."
That's interesting. You ended up pitching for the Twins from 1972 through 1979, and you posted a 96-79 record with a 3.48 ERA. And in 1977, you won 20 games, tying you for the league lead. What do you remember about that 77 season?
One game that sticks out in my mind mainly is a one-hitter that was at home against Boston. Jim Rice had a broken bat single, and that ball just sailed over the leaping glove of Roy Smalley, probably 6 to 8 inches above Roy's glove, and Roy was stretched out as far as he could go. And I bet I dreamt for weeks on end of Roy jumping for that ball. He never did catch it.
But that's, that's quite a thing to do against. That was a pretty good hitting team, I believe.
Yeah, the Strenster was there. You had Evans, Rice. The catcher, let's see, Hobson was third. They had tremendous outfield.
Yeah.
Fisk, I believe, was the catcher. So they had some sticks.
That's for sure. If I remember correctly, Dave, listening to the games back then, you sometimes struggled in the early innings, the games that you pitched, but yet from 1975 through 1979, you never pitched less than 220 innings. What was with those early game struggles you had?
I think a lot of it was learning to pace yourself. In the major league level, there's a lot of adrenaline flowing right away.
Okay.
And learning to pace yourself, and I remember Bob Rogers, who was our catching coach, he came up to me and he kind of explained things about, you get to the sixth inning, you're doing a good job. You only got 9 outs to go, and if you concentrate 1 out at a time from that point on, it becomes pretty easy. Well, that little talk that he gave helped me out quite a bit. And after a while, you start just taking them one hitter at a time, one out at a time, one inning at a time. And, back then, it didn't make any difference for pitch count. Pitch count to us was how many pitches you threw in a game. That's what they told you threw after the game was over with.
What kind of pitch counts did you have? Do you remember any of them?
Oh, yeah. Average for 9 innings was about 120 pitches. I can remember, I believe it was in the third inning, having 46 pitches and finishing the game with over 156, 160 some.
Wow.
And still throwing good at the end. I had a sinking fastball, so actually my arm got more of the ball moved. I know I got accused of throwing spitballs many times, and I never did. My ball just sank that bad.
Wow.
And had a catcher come out and ask if I was loading him up because he couldn't get a glove on him.
That's pretty nice. But, and that was kind of leading into my next question. What pitches did you throw? And if I remember right, you had something called a knuckle curve. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that particular pitch I used in high school. You just jammed it back in your hand and the knuckles popped up on it, and I used it as a changeup. Looking back in high school, I didn't have to use it that much because I had pretty good speed. The further into the leagues, when you got into AA and AAA, it became a good pitch for me, and the more I threw it, the more control I had over it. At first it was just straight as an arrow, just different slower speed, and your arm speed was same as your fastball.
Okay.
But then I fooled around in the outfield a lot with it, and it started to break, and I started to be able to control it a little bit more and more. And like in 76, 7, and 8, 9, I had control of that where I could make it break three different ways. I could make it break straight down or into a right-hander or into a left-hander, either way.
Nice.
And I could throw it at different speeds and control the break then, too. So it was a big pitch for me. It enabled me to continue for a lot more years than I normally would. And I started throwing it more, I believe it was 75 or 6. I had told you earlier where I pulled something in my elbow, and that little ball chip had slid into the joint and locked up my elbow. So throwing my regular curve was pretty difficult. So I started throwing it out more, and then I remember toward the end of the season, I had to go see Dr. O'Phalen because I couldn't even get the arm straight, and tough to get a comb in your back pocket. And we had a cortisone injection, and I remember when he put the needle in, they had to come from the back of the elbow. on that, and my elbow and arm just straightened out, dropped right down. So, you know, luck would have it. He hit that bone chip, pushed it out of the joint, and then filled the joint with cortisone and stuff, and I never had problems with that elbow again.
That's amazing.
So I was extremely lucky.
That is an amazing story. I think you still hold the Twins record to this day for pitching the most seasons in a Twins uniform without having a losing season. And yet your stay in Minnesota, or during your stay in Minnesota, your team never finished higher than third place. What do you remember about those Twins teams?
We could hit like crazy. It was not uncommon for us to have 9 to 14 hits in a game. But, you know, we had a lot of singles. We didn't have a whole lot of power, but we had somebody always that had some. Heisel, Bobby Darwin. It was... We didn't have strong pitching all the way through. We had some good key relievers. I know Bergmeyer was there, Campbell was there, Tommy Johnson was there, had good years.
Mm-hmm.
But the follow-up with the other starters, we just didn't have somebody else strong there. The 1 year that we were there, I believe that was 77, Jeff Zahn was there, and he started out the season 7-0, and he was throwing great. And I think at that time I was 7-1, and we were looking for good things that year, and then we didn't get a lot of help from some of the other pitchers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember Jeff Zahn. As a matter of fact, that's one of the players I've been trying to get a hold of, but I think he ended up, coaching in the Big Ten, didn't he?
Yeah, I believe that Michigan or Michigan State, I'm not sure. Wherever he graduated from, that's where he was coaching.
Yeah, I tried to get a hold of him, but I never could. You ended up playing for Frank Quillacy and Gene Mock as managers with the Twins. What can you tell us about those guys as managers?
Well, Quillacy, he was really a player's manager. He's a very likable guy. To me, he might have been a little bit too easygoing. He liked everybody, and everybody seemed to like him. And you put him up against Mock, and Mock was really sharp. He was about 2 innings ahead of everybody else in the game when he was managing. And he didn't make friends with the players as much as Corsi did. And Mock just kept everybody on edge, just enough edge that you were really playing at the peak of your game.
After the 1979 season, you left Minnesota and signed a 6-year, $3 million deal with the Los Angeles Dodgers, which was a huge contract at the time. Can you tell us how that all came about?
Well, that was pretty much a mistake. I was closed out in the first round of that reentry draft.
Mm-hmm.
So I had eliminated the two Canadian teams. I didn't want to play up there. I'd been to Toronto several times, and I didn't care for their ballpark. It was the old Agronaut football field, the hardest concrete, and I'm a ground ball pitcher, and I knew that wasn't going to work. And Montreal was pretty much the same way. They had artificial infield, and it was too fast. So I moved those guys out, and then I talked with all the other clubs, and I had some areas there I knew I didn't want to go to. I really wanted to stay in the American League because I was familiar with everybody. I think we had it down to the 3 Southern California teams, LA, San Diego, and Anaheim, and Milwaukee. And I really wanted to go to Milwaukee. They had a good club. They had a lot of hitting. Yount was there, Molitor, Cecil Cooper. Just a ton of hitting.
Okay.
And good defense. And I liked the way those guys hustled all the time. I know they were fun to play because it was a real challenge to try to beat those guys. And I think my agent we had talked with everybody, and really, the Dodgers didn't show a whole lot of interest. So my thoughts were it was probably going to be Anaheim or Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And then my agent called and wanted to make one trip down the southern coast to talk to those three teams in one day just to see if there was anything changed. And out of the blue, the Dodgers just blew everybody away with contract offer. And he had asked that morning before he left permission to agree to a contract if something were to happen that were pretty good. And that was probably my mistake, because when he called and he said, "David, congratulations, you're a Dodger," I said some things on the phone that I shouldn't have. And I found out shortly thereafter that it was a conference call, so they all heard me. So we probably got off on the wrong foot. Plus, well, Sorta was the manager. He wasn't even involved because he was over in Japan with an all-star club. And we already had five bona fide starters and maybe a sixth one besides. They were waiting to see what Doug Rao was going to do after coming back from surgery. They didn't need another starter, and for the life of me, I don't know why I got picked there. But I really wanted to go to Milwaukee, and things just didn't work out right. So, but we ended up there. I was very fortunate. Got to win a World Series, pitch in a couple World Series games. There's a lot of guys that play their whole career and are a lot better than me, and I've never been able to pitch in a World Series game, so I feel very fortunate.
Right. Now, that was exactly my next question. You know, the Dodgers won the pennant in 81, and you played the Yankees, and you lost the first two games, I believe, and you came back to take the next four.
Yep. We had a real good hitting club, and we had some real good pitching at that time, too. You know, we had Valenzuela. Royce was there. So it was a real good matchup, and our guys really pounded the ball. Rick Monday was probably the one that got us into it, because he hit a home run and was at the top of the ninth in Montreal to get us into it to win it. So,
you pitched in relief twice during the series, and one of the games you actually relieved the Dodger starter Bob Welsh in the first inning after he was off to a rough start and he couldn't retire a single batter.
Yeah. I was in L.A. I remember pitching there, and, you know, I went through the lineup, I think twice, maybe two and a half times, and my turn came up for hitting, and I got pitch hit for.
The Dodgers ended up releasing you in early 1982 in the third year of your six-year contract. What did you think of that at the time?
I was ready. I remember going in and sitting down talking with them. They had decided to release me. And I remember walking out of the stadium with my agent. And I believe before we got back to his office, I believe there were four calls already from other teams.
Mm-hmm.
So that made me feel good. And then I went and worked out with three, four of them, and they all liked what they saw, and I was starting to throw better. And Jim Locke was managing in Anaheim, and I really wanted to get back with him. I just clicked with him and the way he handled pitchers and the way I felt I could work for him. And I threw for him, and I think I worked out twice with those guys. And they agreed that they would take me if I was willing, and then I had worked out with Milwaukee again and Chicago, I believe, and the White Sox. And I don't know, the feeling wasn't quite there. I wished I'd have gone with Milwaukee, but we went and agreed with Anaheim, and we ended up in the playoffs against Milwaukee to go to the World Series. I believe we won first two games in Anaheim and went into Milwaukee. Had to play three games, win one out of three to get to the World Series, and we dropped all three.
And you got swept.
Yeah, that was hard to take.
Boy, I can imagine.
Yeah.
I can imagine. After you were with the Angels in 82, and then again in 83, you got off to a really rough start. I think you were 0-6 with the Angels, and they released you, and you walked away from baseball at that point. I think you had a rotator cuff injury, if my information's correct.
It was a slight tear, and my speed had dropped way down, and the control wasn't there anymore. And, you know, when when you drop from only 2-3 miles an hour, it makes a lot of difference what the hitters can pick up on. And my ball wasn't sinking anymore because I was holding back because, you know, I was a little sore when you'd throw.
Okay.
And I didn't recover real quick like I used to. And everything was just adding up. It was time.
Was surgery an option for you at that point? Or was it just time for you to leave the game and move on with the rest of your life?
I think it was time for me to leave the game and move on. I believe it was in my 12th season as a major leaguer, and I think I had had enough. I think that was part of it. The kids, I had 3 kids at the time, and it was tough to see them in the car, you know, crying as we left the airport and stuff. And being on the road on the West Coast, you know, a lot of your road trips are 18, 20 days. Because you go out to the Midwest and out East, and it got to be long, and I'd done it long enough, and I played far longer than I thought I would.
And when you were a Minnesota Twin, you played at Met Stadium, but you also had a chance to pitch at the Metrodome as a member of the Angels against the Twins. What did you think of the Dome?
I remember coming back twice in the Dome, and one of the games was kind of fun because Jeff Zahn was on our Anaheim team. And he started the game, and I think I ended up relieving him in that game, and we beat Minnesota. And what were some of the other ones? Oh, we came in once as Anaheim Angels, and I remember flying over Minneapolis. And it was early in the year, and we had to fly back to Chicago because the snow was so bad, and then we found out later that the roof of the Dome had gone down.
Oh, really?
So we came back in the next day, and they had the roof back up, but there was, I don't know, you walk on the field, and it was squishy. You could see water all over the place. They had done a very good job on the infield, but getting that dried out, but the outfield was still dry, or moist. And I think it was a 3-game series, and every day we went to the ballpark, it was just a little better, a little better, a little better. So they had the big fans going, and the heat turned up, and it was like playing in Florida inside the Dome, humid and warm.
You think you would have enjoyed playing in a Dome?
No. I like real long, thick grass. And all the domes and artificial fields that I was involved with in the National League, all that at that time, there were no real good infields and stuff like that. The dome, hard surface and very fast infields, and it just didn't suit the way I pitched. So.
Made sense. What did you think of being honored as one of the 50 greatest Minnesota Twins last year?
That was a thrill of a lifetime to be able to be...
Well, you certainly deserved it.
Included in the group that was chosen. That was fantastic.
It's a beautiful ballpark now, isn't it?
It is. Like I've heard some people say, a lot of people go to the ball games now just to see the ballpark.
Yeah.
Well, I agree. I've been there many times, and it is absolutely gorgeous.
It is. It's nice to see outdoor baseball again. What did you do, Dave, after you left pro baseball?
Right away for about a year, year and a half, I did absolutely nothing. I just kind of relaxed and did a lot of hunting, fishing. I ran a hunting camp in the fall for waterfowl. And some fall fishing, summer fishing. And then I sold real estate for a little bit, and then I got into insurance. And I've been an insurance agent for 23, 24 years now.
You thinking about retirement at all?
You know, I really like what I'm doing. And
nice.
We have good support staff in our office, and I can take off a week, come back, and the scary part is they didn't even know I was gone. You know, they take care of things real well, and I don't know. I may cut back, maybe not work 5 days a week, but As of now, no. I have no idea of retiring. I really enjoy what I'm doing. I have a majority of my book of business is farms. I enjoy talking with the farmers and their equipment and their buildings and stuff. And so I'm going to keep plugging at it for a while.
Well, that sounds pretty good. Well, Dave, I thank you very much for joining us today. We really appreciate you spending your time with us.
You're welcome. It was fun to reminisce.